Lord, it is good for us to be here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. It was just 2 or 3 minutes that taste on Thabor of heaven itself. But it seemed an eternity to the three, Peter, James, and John, that glimpse of glory they caught, which awaits all of us, Christ's risen body and his saints, surrounded with light, because in heaven the Lamb himself is the light of that city. People on earth these days often claim some kind of a near heaven experience. Perhaps they say they died and came back, or they floated above the operating table or the hospital room, or tell a tale of having moved towards the light when they almost died. And many books telling these kinds of tales are published and do rather well in the sales. I read recently, last week, about a new book entitled Heaven is for Real, and it's the current top bestseller in the paperback nonfiction category, and it's been at the top of the list for a few weeks now. It's sold 1.5 million copies. What makes it different is that it is the story of a little boy. He was 2 months shy of his 4th birthday when he emerged from an emergency appendectomy alive, and slowly, over the following weeks and months, started to tell his family. His father was a Protestant minister, and it all began in an Arby's parking lot one summer evening. And he started to tell an amazing story of having gone to heaven and what he saw there. His matter-of-fact statements would have been, some of them at least, very hard for a toddler to have made up. I mean, detailed he could never have heard in a home Bible story or at preschool on Sunday about, he said to his father once, for example, "Did you know there are three persons in God?" And the father said, "Yes, I think I knew that one." And about the Blessed Trinity being enthroned in heaven, the Archangel Gabriel next to God's throne, God's immense love for us, especially for children, and the light that God himself, the Lamb of God, gives in heaven, and how when he went to heaven, the boy said, the angels sang to him to comfort him, and he wanted them to sing some rock music for them, and the angels wouldn't. The angels said they were only going to sing hymns for him, and how he saw Saint John the Baptist. But I was especially intrigued. I picked up the book last week. It's a very short read. Coming across what you could call the Catholic parts. Now, this boy was raised in a strictly Protestant family in Nebraska. His father is a Wesleyan minister, and they have no exposure at all to Catholicism. But the boy's first thing that he wanted to say about our Lord, the first thing that he saw on Jesus was what he called his markers. And his father couldn't at first figure out his markers. Well, he said, the marks that he has, and then he pointed in his palms, and then he pointed down to the tops of his feet, meaning his 5 holy wounds. And child saw as well the halos. The father never came across that in his Bible reading. He checked everywhere. There was light glowing from the saints in heaven according to scriptures, but a halo? Thomas Aquinas describes the halo called the aureoles, in a technical theological term, in very great detail. The halo of the saints in heaven. And finally, just at the end of the book, almost as a sort of a begrudging concession to what he calls his Catholic friends, he said, they wanted to know, and oh yes, it is true, my boy did see Mary, and she was standing next to the throne of God the Son, or else kneeling in prayer before him, and the whole time the little child said, she was still loving him like a mom. Pretty good description of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, it's hard to know what to make of such tales, but it is good to know they're still being told. In other words, that people are talking about heaven. Not that we can expect ever to get an adequate idea. After all, St. Paul insists, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what things God has prepared for them that love him. In this life, perhaps the best that we could do is to begin to grasp what heaven must be, so that when it ends, it won't take us entirely by surprise. To have some idea of where we are going is surely to give us some idea of what life's meaning is. To come to some kind of an understanding so that all of the work and all of the suffering that life entails does have a meaning. And when that darkness seems to close in on us, we will no longer be in such danger of defeat or of giving in. Heaven, beyond all theories and stories and bestsellers, interesting as they may be, means to be in total union with God. But if we never think about it, technically that's called meditating on it, it won't have much meaning for us, will it? And what do we do with all of those many things that we have to endure in this life? There are quite a few, and some of you perhaps may have thought at times, I've already had more than my fair share. But there's one thing that we cannot do without, and which alone makes us happy. Now, follow me on this. It's not as easy as talking about some light reading, someone's thoughts about what heaven might be. Not surprisingly, love is one of the three things of which heaven is composed, along with the vision of God and joy. Love is there because why? It is the cause of all happiness. God made us. We have a free will. Where does that will go? It goes to what it grasps or perceives as good. Even as your mind, we call it the intellect, always thinks and goes towards what you perceive as true. Just as there is no one who, at least interiorly, does not consent to some evident truth he comes across, even if out of stubbornness he won't admit it. So too, there is no one who, faced with good, can refuse to love it, especially when he's free from all evil himself, and the good is perfect and true good, and that is God. For your meditation, what is heaven? A very simple one. Think of a magnet and think of metal and put them together with nothing in between, and that is heaven. The vision of God face to face, to see God as he is, not as we're distracted from seeing him, as supreme good in himself and in relation to others. Now, the saints, even in this world of sin and this world of the senses, why do you think they prayed so long? A Francis Borgia, 5 hours a day and sometimes 8. It was not purely penance. It wasn't an exercise in ascetics. No. If they prayed that long, it was because of joy, the sheer joy of being with God, of loving him. And that love, because we're flesh and blood, overflows into the body. That's why Philip Neri could feel his heart grow larger and larger. His ribs broke. There was a heat in his heart that was almost unbearable at times. So much was he on fire with the love of God. Now, what about you? And what about me? Right now, everybody is loving God without knowing it. How? You're loving God in his creatures. Because whatever good we see in each creature is simply a reflection of the Creator. What do you think that love will be when you see it? Not the reflection, but the reality. God. Here below, in this life, there's always danger of what the theologians call defectibility. You can fall away. Don't be discouraged ever with your faults. Peter, one moment, saw Christ in glory. And then a short time later, he denied he even knew the man. What happens to us? A moment's carelessness. There comes along some creature to claim that good which God alone is owed and his love. How good it will be to love even as we are loved, nonstop and without getting deceived, without being distracted. Heaven is love eternal. That's the one thing in this life not a single person can manage without love. And then you magnify that unto eternity. Meditate on it. That is heaven. Just as hell is hate with no love to soften it. We shall love God as he loves himself in heaven. What is life's meaning? Well, saints and sinners agree on this part of it. It is love. It's only the what, and it's only the how, and the how long that make the difference. It is good for us to be here and to be thinking about these things and to be wondering now, where am I off to next? I mean, our final destination. In this life, you have some sense of justice. And sometimes that thought consumes you, but you'll never get full justice from a creature here below. In this life, you have some sense of love, but you'll always be disappointed, and you will always disappoint when it comes to loving a creature here below. Did God mock us in making us so? I think not. Our very composition, our heart, our soul, our abilities, all of them cry out to the existence of God and of heaven and to the meaning of life. It is good for us to be here this morning. You will see at Mass, veiled in his sacrament the glory of Jesus risen from the dead. Meditate a bit on your life's meaning. It is good to be here. Here. Is there a there waiting for you? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.